Time now for the Tuesday Talk Show here, ladies and gentlemen. Let me see a couple of announcements. We're going to begin our candidate interviews beginning tomorrow morning in this same time frame from 9:35 to 10:30. We'll do four candidates each day, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Tomorrow, we'll lead off with Colleen Martin, followed by Nathan Gonzalez, Christine Goodwin, and Chris Barnett. The order of appearance was determined by a blind draw. So all of that's happening right here on the radio beginning tomorrow morning. So you want to check that out and before you make your decisions to vote. So that being said, welcome again to the Tuesday Talk Show. The number to call after the top of the hour news is 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live. In the meantime, though, welcome to the microphones of KAJO Radio today. It is the final third Tuesday, not the final, it is the fourth Tuesday of the month here. And welcome to the studios, our guest. Let's see, we've got two-thirds of the county commissioners here, John West and Dan DeYoung. And gentlemen, welcome to the microphones of KAJO Radio. Gee, it's been a whole month since we talked. So what has life been? What are your constituents telling you? What's on your agenda for the county commissioners? John, you're the...
budget season.
Budget season. Okay.
Budget season. It's never fun. Never fun. It's, as we see the cost going up and... But we did get some good news. We got about $350,000 more than we were expecting on roads and bridges, that fund. So that was good. And we got a little bit more than we were expecting on the SRS payments. So that's good. But my worry is it's short-lived with the way the Supreme Court ruled in our ONC lands for logging. But we'll take everything we can that's good, and so we got some good news on that.
All right, so there's good news, at least initially, on the budget, and we'll get back to that. Dan, what are your constituents telling you?
I can't say on the air. I really can't.
Can you paraphrase?
I really can't pararaphrase on there. No, John's absolutely right. We're in the middle of budget. One of the
things... And you should know that's a cough button, sir. You've been there for years.
I've been muted. I was getting comfortable, a little too comfortable after 8 years here. But anyway, one of the things about budget is, and we have to remember the budget is only through a year. And we can sit here and say, well, doom and gloom, doom and gloom, and doom and gloom. But right now we are working on the budget that goes from July 1st of this year till June 30th of next year. So that's going to put us well into 2025. Do we have to consider all the money, the revenue that's coming in, and the way it's spent? Absolutely. But I'm not going to be the one. I know that if there's a change in the presidency, and there will be a change in the presidency, maybe, or it may not, the Democrats may come up with somebody other than Mr. Biden, whatever it is, whatever that could change our dynamic considerably. So I'm never one, especially at my age, to worry out more than a couple of years. I think we've got a good staff on board. We've lost some very key people in our staff at the courthouse. But I think we've got a very good staff there. And I'm not the micromanaging type of a person. I leave it up to the department heads. They know, they're very aware. We don't have to tell them every 10 minutes that there's doom and gloom and 14% inflation and this is what it's right in front of them at budget. And so, we have to, there's another thing that we've been doing for the past few years that I think needs to be corrected. And it's showing up this year more than anything is we keep a certain amount of money in reserve to pay the bills from July 1st on to when we collect the taxes in October and November. We have to pay the bills in there and we keep the general fund. We have we want to make sure we have enough money in there so that we can keep the electricity going and so on and so forth.
Keep staff paid.
We've been cutting that really, really close. And when we cut it close, you don't put in for the 16 cents that, 16% that PP&L is going to come in and all the stuff the city's going to put on the bills and so on and so forth. And then regular costs of inflation. Everything goes up to the government just like it goes up to you and your house, except we don't buy tomatoes and oranges and produce and things of that sort. But you're going to find that we were cutting it way too close. So we're going to try to get that ending balance in the general fund. We're going to try to get that back up where it belongs, where we're a little bit more comfortable. I think would be a word for it. And in doing so, there are some programs that, you know, and I call them programs. Everything we do is a program that the people want. The people want it. They want it. This is what I want you to provide. You know, law enforcement one, veterans is another one, you know, animal shelter is another one. All these things that the public wants us to provide cost money. So as we look at it, we may have to cut that back a little bit. You know, years gone by, it got to be, Commissioner Hare walked in one morning with 120 pink slips and that was it. That was a drastic measure.
I remember that day.
Yeah. I think, you know, we use the term pump the brakes. I think we've got some time here that, you know, let's sit down with our department heads and rather than tell them what they're going to do, just say, this is the situation. How would you handle it? And I think our department heads they've risen to the occasion. They're not happy about a lot of it, but, you know, it's money. It's dollars and cents. And at the end of the day, you know, the three commissioners are half of the budget committee. And then there's three other members of the budget committee. It's Mancuso, Brumback and Nathan Siebel. And so those six people make up the budget committee. We will hear the budget. And, you know, the various departments, if they can't get down to what our finance director thinks they can get down to, then they bring it to the budget committee and say, this is how much I need out of the general fund. It's up to the budget committee to say, no, you're not going to get that. Or, you know, yes, we're going to do that. So that's up to the budget committee.
That brings up two questions here. First of all, you mentioned that the, at the very highest level of our government, who is ever at the top controls will have an impact on the budgetary situation here in Josephine County. What direct funds are we talking about here? And which way would that go?
At the top, how far are you going to the top? Presidential?
That's what you were talking about. I think
the morale of the country right now is in really hurting. I think the morale at Josephine County is hurting. I think the morale of state employees is hurting. It doesn't matter which entity you talk to, whether it be Sheriff's Department, Oregon State Police, Grants Pass City Police, whether you call City Parks Division, it doesn't matter. You talk to anybody. We have a real morale problem.
Right.
There is no light at the end of the tunnel, and I think that's going to turn around if we have somebody positive in the White House, and we have something. If we could ever get the Congress and the Senate to quit bickering amongst themselves, we'd
luck.
Probably be a lot better off.
Okay, all right. Is there a dollar and cents number that you were referring to that would have an impact? So not
no.
All right. All right.
No, I don't. And John's absolutely right. You know, we took a hit with the ONC. I have not. I'm on the board of directors for ONC County. I talked to Chairman Freeman here the other day, Tim Freeman out of Douglas County, and Doug Robertson's putting together a program, and we're going to have a meeting. The board of directors are going to have and get to actual what happened and what can happen. But we're on ONC. ONC funds is timber receipts. And the last couple of years, we either voted to take timber receipts or take SRS funds. One of the things that's been troublesome with SRS funds for me is that we have our senators come back and say, we got all this money. You know, a couple of years ago, they said, we got $4 million for you on SRS funds. And then when it actually got the check, we got $2.1 million. And I said, what happened to the other $1.9? They said, well, we already paid you that in timber receipts. Say, no, timber receipts is separate from SRS. Don't tell me you gave me $4 million in SRS funds because then it was headlines of the paper. This is SRS, not timber receipts. Now everybody comes to us and says, where are you hiding the $1.9 million? Say, well, that was in with SRS. Says, no, it wasn't. The senator said. I said, so don't take credit for something you didn't do. But they are now joined together. But we have the option. Every year we have the option. Do we take timber receipts? Or do we take SRS? And last year, I think we took timber receipts. There's some controverted land money that came in this year that was a little bit more than we expected. But it's going to be tough. You know, we've depended on timber receipts for years and years, and that whole program is just dissolving before our very eyes. I don't know how you can completely ignore an act of Congress. I just don't get how you can do that.
All right, second question there. You talked about the reserve fund percentage. What is the reserve percentage that you try to hold back in order to pay those bills from the end of the fiscal year until the taxes come in?
I can give you an approximate in millions of dollars.
Okay.
But I don't know what percentage it is of the total all because that total changes all the time about what our revenue is coming in, whether because we're 80, I think, Herman says 83% grant funded. So we don't know what grants we're going to get. You know, the grants could all dry up tomorrow. And if it is, guess what? We all dry up with it. So, but we generally try to keep around $6 million in there, and we'd like to get it up to $8 million. And then there's another reserve fund on top of that for future expense.
Okay. All right, John, what about these reserve funds? Do we have a percentage? Do you know of a percentage, or is Dan accurate there?
So, yeah, no, Commissioner's accurate. When I first come into office, we were holding around a $6 million reserve fund. And then when the 99-cent law enforcement district, that made us, we have to have in reserve to pay from that July 1st, June 30th, and by the time you start paying your taxes, we really don't see much of that money till probably first to middle of December.
I was going to say maybe the first of the year.
Yeah. And so we're keeping somewhere around $8.5 million. I think somewhere there. Yeah.
That's pretty accurate.
And so what that does, that helps pay for that law enforcement part until we start getting that 99-cent law enforcement district money in. But then the other $6 million keeps the rest of the county afloat. It's we're not over the percentage. I'm not sure if you can give it an exact.
Yeah, I don't know what the starting point would be, because we are not sure where our revenue comes from. That's what budgets are about annually, is say, okay, this is what our revenue is, and this is how much our expenses are. But that revenue stream, it goes up and down. And then, there's a 3% swing in there if everybody took the 3% discount paying their property taxes.
Yeah, and
that's a pretty good sum of money.
I expect to see, I don't know what the percentage is, because I don't follow it in percentages. I kind of follow it in money, but I expect there to be quite a significant cut in millions of dollars in our budget this year, just for lack of all kinds of cuts in funding.
Is the reserve going to be big enough?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make sure that we don't say, okay, well, we're going to spend all this money, you know, because that's what everybody wants. And then all of a sudden in September, we go, we can't write a check for the power bill. Or, as you say, you know, that 99 cents, we have to budget for that, because if we don't budget for it, it goes into effect, and the officers are going to get paid, and we're going to hire people, and so on and so forth, like the people wanted, like the citizens wanted. We got to pay for that. So we're preparing for that. I think it's going to be enough. I think we're on the right track. It's painful for some of the departments. There's no doubt about that, but it's just like coming home and saying, you know, we can't go to Disneyland yet because I have a roof to fix.
Okay. All right. But I want to go to Disneyland. And we'll talk about getting to Disneyland and the budget when we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show. County Commissioners are in house.
Hi.
Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in progress, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, we've been talking budget with the county commissioners here. Let's see. John Weston, Mr. DeYoung are both in studio right now, and the budgetary process goes on. Let's make the public aware of when it's happening and what kind of input they can have. When's the next budget meeting, and what's the best way for a constituent out there to have some input on it?
I think probably the better thing is when is the budget supposed to be certified and what's the time frame? It's got to be in June. Has to be before the end of the year. We haven't had a budget meeting yet to determine what the dates of the budget committee meetings are going to be. We do that at the first one. And we just all agree, yes, we can all six of us can get together on this date. And then at that meeting, we'll say, do you want to meet next Tuesday? Do you want to meet 2 weeks from now? What do you want? And who do you want to hear presentations from? Which departments do you want to hear from and get into their budget in the nuts and bolts? You know, a survey, for instance, he doesn't need to come and do a presentation. It's one pager for the surveyor. Just a one page deal. Pretty cut and dried. But when you get into law enforcement and you get into public health and you get into veterans and you get into the fairgrounds and you get into parks and you get into Rob Brandison Public Works is pretty solid because all of his comes from outside money. Juvenile justice, that all is outside money coming through from the state, JRI funding and whatnot. But some of the things that draw off of that general fund, they're going to be asked to do a presentation. And basically, it's you bet your job. And people say, well, yeah, but you commissioners, you're going to, I said, no, we are no longer commissioners when we're on the budget committee. We're budget committee members. We're no different from than the at large. And we have to, it's really tough to govern that way and to react that way to the very people that you work with every day. But we have to make that separate. We have to really stop back and say, tear up the county commissioner card and set it over here and get out your budget committee card, and that's the way you need to rule.
All right.
So been doing it through Grants Pass, City of Grants Pass for 8 years and 7 years here, so this would be my last budget.
All right, so you have to change hats once you're sitting on that, but we don't have a meeting scheduled yet. It's the end, last week in April. I would assume that we'd have some meetings soon.
We actually do have a format.
Yes.
So I think it's May 23rd is our first one. And then we'll, so we have to set out, we have to notice it. It has to have 2 weeks notice. And then we start. So we kind of set it out, but Commissioner, you know, we'll join together and then we'll look at those dates. But
right.
We have to have the budget set in place by a certain time because it has to go through this period of comment or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so when we start, boy, we're going to have to stay on track pretty close to meet our state statute deadlines, all everything, and to get the budget done so it can be certified, done on time.
Do you have enough time to adequately assess the situation for each department?
Yes.
Yeah, we do that. And this is like at our first meeting, we will pick and choose what dates we want to. You know, and we have a basic schedule that finance brings down. And if that works for everybody, then that's fine. But some people, well, no, I've got a trip to Europe planned. And we want to have the full budget committee there for all the presentations so that at the final day we can, you know, accept the budget or not.
All right. Is the budget published somewhere right now where the average citizen can pull it up online? Is it available?
We haven't actually even seen it ourselves yet.
No.
So when it comes out, I think I'm not sure because I don't. This is back. We don't get into this. Maybe the finance director. I don't know how they do it under budget law. If they have to, I'm sure that they put out the proposed budget. I don't know that for sure. So I just know that when the public's able to come to all the meetings, they're able to watch and listen. And I'm not even sure. Are they able to ask questions?
Yeah, they have public comment. I don't know whether it's asking questions, but there's public comment period.
Yeah. And so I've only been through one budgetary time, and that was last year. And I didn't remember people from there might have been a couple of people sitting in the audience, but I didn't remember.
All the budget committees, budget hearings that I've been through, it's surprising how few people show up, how few people have anything to say about it. And that just, you know, we always like to hear from the people, and at budget, it's just crickets. You know, you get the people that are involved in the various, you know, departments that are doing presentations, but that's about it.
I'm pretty sure we'll post the proposed budget, and then we'll post the adopted budget, and then that's available for anybody to see and look at.
Where does the process start? Does it start with the current budget or what you're spending this year, or do we go back to a zero-based situation?
So the finance director takes every department, puts in their budget. They either have the liaisons, or they work with the finance director, and they put their budget in, and so the finance director has to bring before the budget committee a balanced budget. It has to be balanced. And so then we start, and each department will, whatever the term you want to lobby or talk to us, whatever it is, you know, of why they either need more money or they can stay the same, or, you know, I'm going to have to take cuts and I don't want to do that, or, you know, whatever. So, and then we just have to look at each department by department and figure out where the money comes from, where the money that we do have come in, not all of it can just be spent anywhere we want to spend it.
Yep.
So our hands are tied pretty tight.
And we had, you know, when I first came on board 8 years ago, you know, it was after the Simon Hare thing, and there was no juvenile department to speak of. Those are things that the people want, but if we don't have the money to pay for them, those are programs that just go away. And so we have to be very careful with that and, you know, listen to what the people want, what's important to them. And it's just very similar. You know, we've got some levies coming up on this ballot. You know, those levies are for amount of money. And if you vote on it, and if you don't want to vote on it, if you don't want to spend money on that, then you don't vote on it or you vote no. So this is all driven by the people. But, you know, when it comes down to the level of service that we can provide for the citizens, that's budget driven. That is money driven and money driven only.
All right. I have about 1 minute before we have to take a hard break here. And the quick question is there any incentive for department heads to, one, lower their budget or to cut corners and still maintain their level of service?
Well, I think there's always an incentive.
They're always working at that.
Yeah. So, you know, let's take the clerk. Recordings are way down, you know. So, you know, the clerk's looking at that amount of revenue coming in. You take building, planning, and those departments, you know.
We got about 15 seconds.
All that's way down. So those departments has already made cuts. It's, you know, they do what they have to do.
Thank you. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO. Welcome back to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you again for joining us. The number to call, 541-472-1270, and we'll let you air your questions or comments to our guest today. County commissioners are in studio, but just before we join that, a quick announcement about what is going to be happening tomorrow here in this same time frame. Once again, KAJO Radio and Grants Pass Broadcasting devotes a certain amount of time to candidates to keep our listening public informed. Tomorrow we'll begin those interviews with four per day, beginning at 9:35, going through 10:30, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Now, tomorrow we'll begin that with the first interview with Colleen Martin, followed by Nathan Gonzalez, Christine Goodwin, and Chris Barnett. Order of appearance was determined by a blind draw. Now we'll bring you right back into studio with the county commissioners, and we've been dealing with the budget here most of the morning. Do we need to hash this anymore? What do the people really need to know about the budget process that perhaps they don't know or aren't aware of? I know, Dan, you mentioned that very seldom you see the public come in, because I would imagine that most people are dealing with their own lives and their own budgets here, and you get into the numbers that you guys are dealing with, and it's just mind-boggling. What do the people need to know? Is there a place to learn all this and show up with an informed opinion?
Go ahead.
I would say probably if they want to seek that information is available. Is it boring? Yes, it is.
It's rows and rows of numbers.
It's rows and rows of numbers. And if you come back 2 days from now, the numbers are different. So it's up to the Board of County Commissioners, and then as the Budget Committee, the six people on the Budget Committee, to really dive into it. That budget book is, I'm going to guess, 2.5-3 inches thick, and it bounces back and forth from one tab to the other. It is very confusing to follow, even if you're there. And that's kind of been sticking in my craw for a number of years, is that as you're giving the budget presentation, I'm looking at my fellow budget people and myself, and the tabs jump around, and the presenter needs to say, I'm going to be talking about tab number 7, and this is my thing. I'm going to wait a second for you to get to page 12 of number 7, because that's where we're going to start. When you all get there, let me know, and I'll continue. But by the time you found where they are talking in the budget book, because they go through it all day long, and they, you know, they're attuned to where it is, you've missed half of it. And so I think, you know, that would draw the budget process out a little bit, but I think it would be far less confusing if that happened. So
how many hours goes into putting this budget process together, the budget meetings themselves, study before and after and during?
Finance department, the finance director, it's all year round.
Yeah.
It's all year round. I mean, it's a full-time job. And it's a very important job. I don't want to make it sound like it's not important, that there isn't any room for comment or room for improvement on it. I'm never going to say that, but it's a tough one. And, you know, like I say, if you want to sit there and crunch numbers all day, that's fine. But we have an awful lot going in our own lives, private lives, and as everybody does, families and, you know, soccer and schools, activities and whatnot. To sit down and this normal citizen says, I did. There are people I'm paying to look at this and to make it right. And that's us.
All right.
That's John and myself and Herman and the Budget Committee.
All right. And now we've got the Budget Committee. Basically, they're providing oversight to what the finance director brings in. Is that fair?
No, the finance director brings in a balanced budget, which is by law. And then we go through department by department. And so if we have mandated departments that are mandated by the state. So if we have to take money or trim one department to keep a mandated department going, that's what we have to do. And this is where citizens may not always understand this. And if they come and listen to it and watch the process, they get a little more schooling on it. So just pick a department. Clerks. Clerk is a mandated department. You know, we got elections, we got all this stuff. And somebody says, well, you know, I don't think we need the clerk there all the time. Well, who's going to do passports? Who's going to do recordings? Who's going to do all the election? Who's going to do all the things the clerk does? And so the state, you know, and other people, I had a guy tell me the other day, he says, why do we even have an assessor? We don't need to pay for an assessor. Let's take all that money and give it to law enforcement. You have to have an assessor or there'd be no property taxes. And he says, that's why I don't want an assessor. I said, well, it don't work that way.
he knew what he was after.
He knew where he was going with that one. Yeah.
So it's quite a process. And, you know, we have people tell us all the time, and none of us are have any plans or want to do to cut any money from law enforcement or anything else. But, you know, when you get down to the bottom line, we have to keep this department going by the state mandates. And if there's only this much money there, we have to do it up. And if the sheriff goes from this percentage and drops a half a percent, oh my gosh, we've just, you know, it's we don't have any control over sometimes of this stuff. So it makes it hard, and people need, if they come and went through the process, I know it's long, it's boring, it's many nights, but they would see that, boy, these guys' hands are tied on a lot of this stuff. And
plate's pretty full.
Yeah.
All right. We could go on talking about the budget for hours and hours and hours and hours.
Can I throw something in? Every time we talk budget, we talk government spending, it's, I pay my taxes. I wrote the check out to Josephine County. What all did you do with it? Well, if you really look at you wrote it out to the Josephine County tax collector, because that's where she's supposed to collect the taxes. That department collects the taxes. Your obligation is to look at that tax statement and see how much money actually went to Josephine County, the big marble building on 6th Street. And that operation to run the whole thing, park, recreation, and all the other stuff. I want you to look at that and see exactly how much of your $5,000 or $3,000 tax statement, how much went to the courthouse, to Josephine County General Government. I think you would be very, very surprised at the smidgen of money that we deal with. We don't deal with the amount of money that goes to D7. District 7 schools and Three River schools and Rural Community College and all of the other things that are racked out of that. We don't have anything to do with that. And you add that up, and then maybe you might want to go see your school board.
So you're not getting the full 58 cents per thousand?
We get a 58 cents a thousand, but you stop and look.
But you don't get all that 58
no,
cents.
No, we don't. No, we don't.
No, because think about it. 3%, you get a 3% discount if you pay early. So we're losing 3% right there.
Yep.
So we roughly take in about $6.5 million a year We're supposed to run. Yeah, and we're supposed to run the whole county.
Total budget is somewhere in the 187 million.
Last year was 170.
170 something. That number bounces around. Every time I get, it's 192. No, it's 187. No, it's 176. But it's way up there.
But remember, there's a big chunk of money comes from ODOT for public works and roads. Yep. And so when people hear gas that tax number, they're going, oh, you got flush. But that money is designated that we don't get to touch it. It mm-hmm. has to go for roads, bridges, this, that, whatever. So, yeah.
We do have a call has come in, and let's say good morning. You're on the air. Do you have a question or comment for the commissioners?
Yes, this is a comment, or basically a question. I noticed when I was listening to the show that the commissioners are saying they switch hats when they go to the budget committee meeting, and I'm wondering if the pay also switches.
No. No, in fact, the budget...
Well, then I would, then I would suggest that you keep your commissioner hat on. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, well, we are on the board of directors for 4-H. We're on the board of directors for that. We are board of directors for a whole number of different things. But our commissioner hat stays on. We're always going to be a commissioner. That's what we were elected to do. But when we make decisions on the budget committee, we are no longer a quorum of 2 out of 3 make that decision. We are on members of the budget committee. And do we get paid while we're doing that? Yes, we do, because we're on salary. We get paid if we go read the proclamation for Right to Life on Sunday. We're getting paid. So, that's our contract, that with the people is that we get paid a salary, and it covers basically whatever the job requires, and the budget committee is one of those requirements.
All right. Gentlemen, let's move ahead a little bit here. Looking at the time here, I need to take a commercial break. I'm going to do that, and we'll be right back with the final 15 minutes of the program. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO.
Spring is...
All right, we're down to about the last 12 minutes of the program here as Tuesday Talk Show continues with our county commissioner guest. We've been talking budget for most of the morning so far, but let's move ahead just a little bit. You do have a business session tomorrow, and let's see some... Well, it's first of all, another phone call has come in. Let's take that call. Good morning. You're on the air. Do you have a question or comment for our guests?
Yes, I do. It's not a question so much, but... I've been listening to this show since it started this morning, and I've heard, I believe it was Mr. West, comment twice about the 3% discount on my property taxes. Well, that's tough. I don't feel sorry for getting a 3% discount when I've already had to take money and lose whatever interest I was getting on that money. So I don't think that he likes the 3% discount. And, I'd like to hear him explain why he feels such a big deal that he mentioned it twice, I believe. Thank you.
So, sir,
you're on.
Okay, sir, I appreciate that question, but...
Just a minute, John. For some reason, let me check here. Go ahead and talk to me.
Hello?
Hello?
Okay, you're on.
I didn't push the button. All right. Don't point at me, Chuck.
All right, let me see. All right, try again, John.
How about now?
Okay.
Okay.
Operator error.
So, sir, I'm not. I have no point. My point was that every citizen gets that discount, and that's great, including me. When I pay my property taxes early, what I'm trying to say is when citizens or voters think that we're getting this 58 cents, we're really not getting 58 cents. And my point is that when we take a 3% discount, so now we're down to whatever it is, 56 cents or 50, whatever the 3% equals. I'm not complaining about it. I think it's great that you get a discount if you want to take advantage of it. I'm just saying that it does affect the amount of revenue that we have to work with. But that was all my point was that it was nothing bad or derogatory.
All right, let's move ahead. You do have a business session coming up tomorrow, and I wanted to bring that up because there's some things here that I have a couple of questions about. First of all, you're talking about some real owned county property and putting some things up for sale. And can you go through the business session tomorrow and give us a quick idea of what's really coming up on the agenda? I have a copy of the agenda here.
Yeah,
if you'd like.
You do? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so A is approval of in the matter of designating county-owned real property as county forest, public parks, or recreational areas. You know, we're going to be hearing about actually most everything of this today in our legal counsel meeting. And so, you know, I haven't had a chance to read all these specific before this meeting. I know, you know, we're going to be approving some authorization for some sales of property for the sheriff to put up for sale. And then we got some community block grant, which brings in, brings with the city of Cave Junction. So some of this is, you know, a couple of these items, A and B, these matters of exchange of the, I'm not too familiarized with it. I'll be more today before Wednesday's meeting. I'll be well versed on it. So, and then the approval of county real property known as Pike Fork. We'll be in an executive session today on that. And so when we come out of that, we'll know more about for this lined up for Wednesday. So I don't know if that helps you or not. Maybe
we have. Yeah, we have to notice all the things. Actually, we are going to talk a lot about a lot of these subjects, as Commissioner said, at our legal counsel update this afternoon. And we'll go into executive session for the Pipe Fork side of it. But most of this stuff, like approval of, 2024-27, the matter of authorization sale of county property by sheriff. Sheriff accumulates property, and it's not a lot of times, it's not property being dirt. It may be a vehicle they no longer need. We go through that with sheriff sale, goes through a lot of vehicles, trailers, and things that Public Works doesn't need any longer. And those are those sheriff sales. So those are, a lot of this stuff is just, kind of housekeeping. I'm not sure what approval of or 2025 is. 2024-025 is in the matter of designating county owned real property as county forest, public parks, or recreation areas that we'll talk about today.
All right. The order 2024-027 is about four different pieces of real property.
Correct.
That's the sheriff's sale.
And those are sheriff sales, but there's sheriff sales sometimes are property, and sometimes property is considered to be confiscated cars or whatever it is.
I think there was acreage.
And you handed me one piece of paper, and then you've got four pieces
and
of paper.
I've got four here.
Teacher, I don't have all the information. Yeah, we're gonna look at it today, and then tomorrow is at the weekly business session. We'll be making decisions on things, or we can put it off tomorrow again.
Ultimately, with that situation, where do those funds go?
It depends. Mm-hmm. It really depends on how we acquired the property.
Oh, okay.
That's simple.
So some of it may recoup what the county has spent on perhaps a cleanup.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So, county, if it's like a grow site that's just a mess and everybody left a bunch of trailers there and old motorhomes and whatnot, our solid waste division pays to clean all that up, and then the solid waste division is brought back out of proceeds. Solid waste agency will then be replenished out of that sale.
Okay.
And it really depends. It depends. Is it a tax foreclosure? Is it confiscated for drug activity, RICO, whatever it is?
Hardly a significant revenue stream.
Oh, no, not at all. No, we don't use that as a revenue stream, because then people say, oh, yeah, you're foreclosing on me so you can make more money. We're not in that business.
The foreclosure process takes so long.
That takes a long time, and we don't want to foreclose on anything. You know, we'll work with anybody to try to keep them on their property.
Well, and remember, Chuck, there's state statutes that says how we acquired it, and a lot of times that money can only go to parks or forestry or whatever. It's already designated. It's not that, we can put it in some fund that we want. We don't have that. We don't have that leeway. So it's already says where it goes before it comes to us.
Okay, just briefly, the Pipe Fork situation. I know that's going to draw a lot of interest, and I know you've got an executive session coming up. Will we Do you anticipate we'll be seeing a conclusion or any decisions in tomorrow's?
Well, I think we're gonna. We are right now in the 11th hour.
Mm-hmm.
We have an offer on the table from the Park Fork people that expires at the end of this month. They're dealing with a conservancy, which has put up the money, most of the money, and then the conservancy is dealing with BLM. So there's not just we think we can do this, but there's some big shots upstream that spent an awful lot of time and effort on this thing. And so we're going to have a discussion about the Pipe Fork, whether we, choose to accept their offer or go another direction. It's going to be an executive session, so I'm not probably going to take any more time on it here, but I'm going to think it's going to be pretty controversial. This whole thing has been controversial from the very beginning, but, I've followed on it for the last 5 years, and I was pleasantly surprised that community out there gathered that kind of financing and through the avenues that they did. I can't say I was impressed, but I was surprised that they, we asked them to get something done, and by God, if they didn't do it.
All right. Dan, I'm down at the end of the program. You got 1 minute left, and then I got a minute for John.
That's it. I'm talked out, brother.
<All right>.
John, unbelievable.
John, you get a minute and a half.
Oh, wow.
Don't know how to act, do you?
I would just like to see the citizens get involved in our budget. Get involved in our Wednesday weekly business session. Starts at 9 o'clock. Come and speak to the commissioners. You get 3 minutes to talk about anything you want. We're not like the school board. We allow you to speak on any subject you want. And so we would like to see more citizens get involved and let us hear. Good, bad, ugly, whatever it is, we're there to hear it and see if we can resolve any issues you got, any problems. The board's numbers or their phones are always open, and we're heading into summer. Looking forward to fair. I think fair's going to be we just got a lot of great things with spring and then coming into fair, and so let's stay positive.
Yeah, sometimes you feel like you're in the dunk tank up there, and everybody steps up to Mike, gets 3 balls for a quarter.
I thought you were done.
Okay. It's a dollar for you, Chuck. It's a dollar for 3 balls for you.
I got $3. Okay, all right. Gentlemen, thank you very much. I appreciate your candor today and your patience here with us. You've been listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. A quick reminder that we'll be right back here tomorrow in the same time frame from 9:35 to 10:30 with 4 candidates coming up for your consideration in May. We'll start off with Colleen Martin, Nathan Gonzalez, then Christine Goodwin and Chris Barnett. 4 candidates for your consideration tomorrow right here on KAJO AM 1270, 99.7 on the FM band, and heard all around the world on KAJO.com. Don't forget, tomorrow the political interviews begin right here at 1270 Radio.